Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Yeah, our favorite ENN on a Friday.
Yeah.
That's right. And tonight's ENN is, of course, brought to you by our dear friends over at DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Gilda Radner.
And then let's go on ahead and say good evening to Don.
One of those big obnoxious boxes.
And now this is a big way to start off ENN, guys. First of all, do you want to hear the statement from one Julius Randle?
Yes.
All right, it's on his Instagrams. It's called Message to Knicks Fans. Just want to send a quick message to our fans and be clear. I love NYC and being a part of this team and this franchise. And like most Knicks fans, I am really passionate about us being successful. My family and I love how the fans and New Yorkers have embraced and accepted us and have made us feel great about our decision to commit long-term with the team this past summer. This support means the world to us. I understand that my actions also represent the league, the organization, and the city, and that I should have handled things last night differently and expressed myself with more professionalism and more appropriate language in the heat of the moment. My comment was an example of how sometimes you say things you regret to people you love, even if it came from a place of passion and deep love. Nobody wants to win more than me, and I will continue to show loyalty and dedication to my teammates, the entire Knicks organization, and the fans who have shown me and my family so much love. I'm going to keep focusing on the future. Thank you. Go Knicks.
Now, can I interpret that?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to the media. You could dump a hot bucket of urine on their head and nobody from the Knicks organization would say a word. But when you insult the paying customers, I'm sure he was called on the carpet. He didn't just all of a sudden have an epiphany. The media doesn't pay your bills. The people that sit in those seats pay your bills. So I don't know if it went to Jim Dolan or the Knicks' fine media relations staff or if it was Leon Rose or William Wesley. Bottom line is, he was told to smarten up. You don't do that to the paying customers. You want to say the media stinks? Go for it. We agree. But not the fans. That's why he apologized. He didn't all of a sudden see the light.
I thought you were going to maybe make note of the fact that it's like, it's still kind of a halfway apology.
Well, I think he was forced to do it.
Yeah, because there's not really, did the word sorry or apology come out?
No.
I should have handled things last night differently and expressed myself with more professionalism and more appropriate language in the heat of the moment. And then, you know, my comment was an example of how sometimes you say things to regret, but to people you love, even if it came from a place of passion and deep love.
Right.
So, I mean.
And also, when he interpreted what the thumbs down meant, that was worse than the thumbs down. You're telling the fans to shut the F up? You're paying customers?
Have you ever noticed sometimes people talk too much when they apologize?
Yeah, just say I'm sorry.
Guys, last night I was super heated, and I took it too far. I love the fans here. My bad. I apologize. That's it. It's over. Two lines.
Somebody at MSG, very smart in business, said, no, 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 this is not what you do. Not to our fans, not to the paying customers. You don't do that if somebody enters a restaurant. You don't thumbs down the customer. It's moronic. Again, the media doesn't matter. The customers are different.
But
Here's what's interesting. Like, the Knicks are savvy enough to realize we've got to get something out there. You're going to have to apologize. These are our paying customers. We can't have that. But to Peter's point, sorry never came out. As a matter of fact, it sounded like, hey, maybe I handled it the wrong way, but the message still needed to be sent. Shut up. I shouldn't have used the F-bomb. I probably shouldn't have done the thumbs down, but he kind of stand by just him being upset about it. I would think if the Knicks orchestrated it, they would have been smart enough to make sure that there was an actual apology in the apology. So I'm wondering if this was done by Randall on his own.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm not going to sit here and pile on him by the level of apology. He apologized. What I'm trying to figure out is I don't think he did it on his own volition. He didn't find religion overnight. He found religion because he was told to find religion.
None of them do. But my point is, Michael, I think that if the Knicks were the ones that were behind it, we wouldn't be having this conversation about whether it's an apology or not. There would have been, I'm sorry. The fact that there wasn't tells me that maybe this actually did come from Randall.
Let's actually go back to last night and first hear how the game ended on TNT. Brian Anderson on the call.
Finds Barrett. Get a shot up. This is for the win. Oh, it's good! Off the window! RJ Barrett wins it for the Knicks!
Let's hear how it sounded right here on 98.7 with the great Ed Cohen.
Here we go. Far sideline. Half court left. 1.5 to go. Tie game at 105 to Barrett. One dribble. Right wing three for the win. Baker is good! He banked it in! Barrett banked it in! And the Knicks have won the ball game! At the buzzer.
Beautiful. And lastly, from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston.
The end of games have been a disaster for the Celtics this year. They are, after last night's loss to the Spurs, they are 2-10 in games decided by five or fewer. The tie score is 105. Al Horford will guard the inbound.
Watch out for a lob.
Remember, the Celtics had the steal in this situation last night. No timeouts. It's in safely. Falling away. Tough Barrett. Three. Banked it in. It happened.
It's a good call. I always respect a hometown call that doesn't get so morose when something exciting happens.
And fans wanted to be morose, but
They wanted you to go, oh, yeah. But no, he called. It was a crazy shot. I mean, by the way, Barrett's shot, he was not good yesterday. And that part's getting overlooked in the conversation, guys. The game before, what did he have, 32? And we all talked about how different this team is when R.J. Barrett plays that way. And it seems like he cannot follow up the great game with a consecutive great game.
It's the consistency with him. How about Fournier? I mean, talk about consistency. He's consistently great against the Celtics and bad against everybody else.
So where do we go from here? Huge win at home against the Celtic team that they're battling for position with. Now they're two games under.
Let's see what they do. They go to Boston tomorrow. Let's see how they play against the Celtics again.
Because the thing that got lost in everything is how thrilling the win was, but also how desperately they needed it and to start gaining some traction here. We're almost to the halfway point of the season here. It's a nice sample size of a team that's got a losing record.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was actually just sent, guys, the exciting conclusion to Freddie Kitchens' secret presser.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys didn't hear it, we'll try to put it up on social media, but Freddie Kitchens had a presser earlier. He has, of course, announced that he's coaching for the Giants this weekend as the head coach. It's not recognized or sanctioned by the Giants or the league, but Freddie had a rogue Zoom call, and here's part two of that Zoom call. All right, you know what? Before I put a bow on this thing, because I think I've been doing a great job so far, if you ask me, I'm going to take some rapid-fire questions from anyone out there. So, you, little weird guy in the back, what's your name?
Sure, Brett Jurgensen, Manhattan Press.
Go ahead, Brett.
Freddie, your offense threw for negative 11 passing yards.
And guess what? And guess what? Brett, your mother's ugly. Next, who's that?
Hi, Freddie. Dale Beeman, Midtown Inquirer. Freddie, what exactly have you done, be it Cleveland or here in New York, that makes you think you're qualified to lead this team?
Oh, really, really? And what I have a question. What have you ever done to think you are qualified to write for a prestigious paper like the Midtown Press? Okay? I don't think you are qualified. Go f*** yourself.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Wow. You thought better press conference than Judge's.
I was going to say, you thought Julius Randle had a crazy presser last night. Wow. Mike, wow. Not what you expect to hear from a head coach in this league. All right, guys, let's talk a little NFL this weekend, shall we? The Raiders of course, this is the right thing to say. They want to beat the Chargers to make the playoffs.
It doesn't have to be reportedly.
They don't want to settle for the tie. Now, there is a scenario in which they could just tie on Sunday night and coast into the playoffs.
No, I'd be red hot because I'd lose my three-point play.
Well, Rich Bisaccia, the head coach of the Raiders, the interim head coach, has said that is not going to happen. I don't think I ever passed math, so I don't even know what the hell you just talked about. By the way, is that the most football guy answer?
Yeah.
All I know is we're really excited about our opportunity in front of us Sunday night, and we're going to look to put out our best foot forward. Mm. We're going to look to put out a product on the field that all of Raider Nation can be proud of. So that's kind of our focus right now.
Now, do you think Goodell called each team already, or do you think he'd wait until the Colts lost before?
I think he'd wait.
I think so too. Why make an issue of something that may not even matter? But the game's on NBC. It's not going to happen. But to Mike,
Al Michaels won't allow it to happen.
No, well, he would definitely have a lot to say if it did, and rightly so. And I had mentioned it yesterday, and Mike Tannenbaum backed it up. This could become a thing once we get to overtime. You know, if you get the ball, like both teams get the ball and don't score, and say the Chargers get it with like 3 minutes to go, they're going to try to milk those 3 minutes and just get out of Dodge with a tie if they can. I don't think they're going to be trying to aggressively get in the field goal position. Why risk the turnover? They'll treat those last 3 minutes as if they're milking the clock.
Listen,
I think it's all for nothing. I mean, the Colts are not losing.
No, listen, they'd have to – that would be – for a team to need a game and lose in Jacksonville.
Do you know how this – the Jaguars have an opportunity to screw up so many playoff pictures? They can flip the whole thing upside down with an upset of the Colts. All of a sudden, the Ravens-Steelers game matters. It changes everything. But what are the odds?
I mean, it's enough for them to go out there and give their best effort, but their best effort's still not going to be even close.
The line's 15?
Yes.
You know the only reason I didn't touch it?
15?
Yeah. It's that.
I told you not to be scared.
I know you did, but I'm always just scared. You look up, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Jacksonville's up 10-0. And I'm like, oh, how are they going to get? They're going to win the game, but are they going to make up 30 points right here?
And you do that math in your head, right, when you see that?
Like, it seems impossible, but then it happens.
Like if Jacksonville scored, they were up 10-0. Be like, oh, my God, it's now minus 25.
Right, and in your head you go, it's over. Even though it happens all the time, and the team just comes back and rolls.
Yeah.
Because it's football, right? You're down 10-0 in the first quarter, it's 10-10 at halftime, and then they score four touchdowns in the second half, and you never even think about it. But
I think the only way that Jacksonville covers is backdoor, meaning, like, it's 30-0 at the half. Colts kind of call off the dogs because they know they've got the game won.
And they score and go for two twice and lose 30-16.
And you see Jacksonville score a couple of meaningless touchdowns at the end. Never a threat to win the game, but change the number.
Now, a game that I was very interested in but laid off was the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And, by the way, the Cardinals have designated J.J. Watt, once thought to be out for the entire season with season-ending surgery. He's now designated to return.
What?
Yeah. He can start practicing anytime during the next 21 days.
Wow. Now, speaking about J.J. Watt, let me throw this at Don. What do you think Michael Strahan would feel if T.J. Watt is allowed, he has one sack in the game and is allowed to get the second sack? Would Strahan be angry?
I don't see he has any reason to be angry considering how he got the record originally.
Exactly. I'm wondering how could he be angry?
And how much of an asterisk is next to this because it was done in a 17-game season, not a 16-game
season. Well, Cooper Kupp said there should be an asterisk, and he's right.
I understand this is a whole big thing. It was the primary thing in the movie 61. You know, like a season's a season. We get that from a literal standpoint, but still. You don't think it makes it easier to break a record having a full game extra than the guy that broke the record?
Absolutely.
You know, so, listen, Michael, I think he's probably rooting for him to do it.
No way. No way.
It's not.
Why would he be rooting for him?
I don't know.
That's too generous. That's one. I'm going to say that's one notch too generous. All right,
that's
guys,
a poo-poo take.
That's right. You know what it's time for now?
Oh, no.
The time you wait for all week.
I love
it's
it.
Time.
And I want the whole thing. The whole.
Well,
shebang.
Guess what? You have an extra long one today because we got 2 days of games. All right? It is time for your Week 18 NFL schedule and announcer lineup. And we start tomorrow afternoon. Michael will be dialed in on this game. It's his one-point pick. ESPN/ABC. You have Kansas City at Denver. Wow, I would not have. Either of you want to guess the lineup calling this game?
Well, both of the games are at ESPN, so I'd say it's Steve Levy, right?
No, he'll be on the later game.
Wow, the game that doesn't mean anything.
Correct, because it's Dallas and Philly. So any guess? Here's a hint. The analyst was in the news this week.
A-Rod.
No. It's nope. Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit.
Looked like Notre Dame was just maybe going to... Oh, God!
And the great Laura Rutledge. Chiefs, of course, clinched the number one seed in the AFC with a win and a Tennessee loss. They're looking to claim the number one seed for the third time under Andy Reid in the last four seasons. Which brings us to 8:15. Still on ESPN ABC. Mm. You said it, Michael. It's an NFC's clash, a meaningless one between two teams headed to the playoffs. The division winner Cowboys against wild card Philadelphia. Steve Levy on the call.
It's pretty good to be your boy Leaves right about now.
Joined by Brian Greasy and his sound-alike E. Lewis Riddick. Lisa Salters on the sideline. Cowboys 5-0 against the NFC East this season, the only team that's perfect in divisional games.
And I applaud the Cowboys playing it straight up because I think they need to. They lost to Arizona. They need to get Prescott right.
Did you think about picking them?
I did.
I did.
You thought about it? Number's five.
That was one of my five.
Jalen Hurts is a little banged up.
I don't think the five's a big number at all.
No Parsons.
Sunday, we start at 1 p.m. on CBS, a game that kind of could have meaning, but unlikely. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. The last game, potentially, for Ben Roethlisberger in the NFL as a Pittsburgh Steeler. There's only one man for a job like this. His name is Ian Eagle. He'll be joined by the great Charles Chuck Davis. And wait for it, it's Washburn time. Evan
Washburn. The lobby
is
bustling. There is an energy here.
He'll be on the sidelines. Again, the Ravens make the playoffs with a win and a Colts loss, a Chargers loss, and a Dolphins loss. The Steelers would need a win, a Colts loss, and then the Chargers and Raiders to just not end in a tie. At 1 o'clock also, my Washington football team up against Joe Judge, potentially fighting for his Giants career. It's on Fox, and the man for the job is Chris Myers.
Hi, I'm Chris Myers.
He'll be joined by Daryl Moose Johnston and Jen Hale. Washington has lost four straight. They will finish 500 or worse for the 17th time since 2000. Only the Jaguars and Browns have more such seasons during that span. The Giants, third time in the last five seasons, they've lost 12 or more. Ugh. 425, the Jets and the Bills. Kevin Harlan on CBS. He'll be joined by Trent Green and Melanie Collins. Bills clinch the AFC East with a win or a New England loss. Zach Wilson, no interceptions in four straight games. So he looks to extend that. Also at 425, you have the Niners and the Rams in a game that matters for both teams. 49ers trying to make the playoffs. Rams trying to win the West. Joe Buck on the call.
I actually called a touchdown live on national TV while peeing in a trash can.
He'll be joined by Troy Aikman, of course, and Aaron Andrews. Oh, and also the great Tom Rinaldi. The Sunday nighter, the Chargers and the Raiders, my three-point game, rocking with the Chargers, 820 on NBC. Al Michaels on the call. He'll be joined by Chris Collinsworth.
Here's a guy.
And, of course, Michelle Tafoya. The Chargers clinch a playoff berth with a win or a tie. The Raiders clinch a playoff berth with a win or a tie, unless, of course, the Colts lose and blah, 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 blah. That will do it for
Wait. CBS's main game, I want to give a guy I like some love. Jim Nantz is on COVID protocol, and the great Tom McCarthy will be working with Tony Romo.
Nice.
Tom McCarthy's awesome.
Hope Jim feels better.
Yeah, sending our best out to Jim, of course. And that will do it for ENN. On this Friday night, it's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while enjoying the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
Aaron Rodgers takes down in an ugly, ugly, enthusiastic way a report about what might happen at the Super Bowl. We'll tell you exactly what he did, who he said it about, and what he said. That's coming up right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.